And welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan, and we are airing live on August 16th, 2020. Scoop ya.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. My name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. If you're looking for a tractor, a mower, a rider, or a zero turn, go by and see them there. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. They've got a pretty good inventory right now, and also they handle the steel power products line and Honda. So if you're needing a generator, go by and see them. They have plenty on hand. They get you fixed up. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
That was easy.
Yeah.
All righty. So let's see. You can always find everything about our programs for the last almost 10 years at wethepeopleradio.us. And I have like all the shows that we're speaking about China again today. So all the shows about China are under a tab called China. Shows about Islam, tab called Islam. Pretty easy. Got them kind of separated out. Shows about veterans, South Africa, national security, marijuana. If you still think marijuana is safe, effective, and herbal, please click on the pot tab. Made it short, sweet, and to the point.
I think I got a residual high from being over on the coast this last couple of days.
Cooler weather and lots of fumes.
Lots of fumes over there, yeah.
Lots of fumes.
On the what do they call it? The Emerald Coast.
No, it's the Emerald Triangle. Get with the program.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Emerald Triangle.
You obviously didn't do
See,
any.
I'm still not.
Didn't do any recon while you were over there, did you? Or did you? Maybe that's why you don't know what the hell you're talking about. We say
I didn't have to look very hard. Let me put it that way.
She's watching me through the window. She's giving me the eye sign there. Oh, my goodness. So we decided. What am I saying? We've been remiss. I'll just confess. We've been remiss. And we have to check back with our guests on China. There's been so much going on, and yet we've been talking about, you know, it just seems like there's so much going on everywhere. But time to go back and do some revisitation. There is a ton of great information. I'll be updating it actually during the program, and then for people who are maybe tuning in who haven't listened before, well, where have you been for starters? But our shows are always archived after the program. The commercials are taken out, so you save yourself 20-25 minutes. You've got two links, one for each hour or one for the whole program, depending on how much bandwidth you've got. You can download them. They're MP3 files. They're free, and they're always there hanging out waiting for you, so there's no reason to go without information. And the information doesn't ever come from us. It comes from people who actually know what they're talking about. We're just the conduit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. We just show up and
we just jump in. We just jump in when we have a
We just
wild
do
thought.
Smoke signals with Ashley through the window. That's our job. So today I kind of stole a couple of his topics, crammed them together, and made them our topic. But you know, we're going to go all over the place. But it's how Beijing's communist regime poses a greater threat to America than other countries, and how the Trump administration has been most effective in protecting American society from communist threat. And they've been the most effective, he feels, in the last half century. So for all those of you who are really sick and tired of hearing about how, you know, this administration isn't doing anything and nothing's getting done and blah, 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 this will be a treat for you. And if you do think the administration is getting nothing done, if in fact you are a true believer of that, you should listen too, because actually there is a lot getting done, unless, of course, you'd like us to be communists.
Well,
if you'd like us to be communists, you should change the channel, because this will make you angry.
Yeah, CNN this morning was just saying that if we just kind of dropped our present policies and just started getting along with China, our lives would be so much easier.
Huh.
We could.
Is that because they would tell us what to do all the time?
Well, yeah, and you know, we could go on TikTok, and we could do all these fun things that we're gonna not be able to do here pretty quick. Yeah, it's like,
you get people spying on us 24/7.
Nope, it's gonna be tough.
Huh? Well, that's gonna suck. So our guest today came to the United States from China as a college student in 1988. He attended Eastern Michigan University in a small town 10 miles east of Ann Arbor. And after graduate school, he worked at a spinoff, and the search engine was deployed among leading enterprises and government agencies. First as a kernel engineer. That's kernel with a K. Bill's giving me the old kernel with a K. This is computer chit chat. And later as an independent consultant, Mr. Young handled high availability and high throughput information needs for clients worldwide, including financial news, profiling at Dow Jones, built-in information retrieval features in Adobe Acrobat and Lotus Notes. Kind of exciting. Interest rate announcements by Mexico's Central Bank and corporate solutions by London-based consulting firm Accenture. So kind of neat. But since 2012, so fast forward here after college and after all these fun computer things that I'm sure he's still doing. But since 2012, he's provided research, analysis, and other services to private investors and not-for-profit organizations covering macroeconomic and geopolitical topics in U.S.-China relations. And we started chatting with him before all this pandemic and Wuhan virus business got started, but what a great relationship to have forged. So we can touch back with him and he can catch us up to speed on what's actually going on that Chris Wallace will probably, A, never uncover and B, never believe.
That's right.
So while he's talking on Fox News here on Sunday afternoon, we'll be giving you the actual truth here. So, Eureka, where would you like to start? Because I know you made a little change, and we don't care. We'll follow along wherever you want to go.
All right. Yeah, I want to pick up on there is an old saying, like, if Muhammad does not go to the mountains, right, the mountain comes to Muhammad. And then now there, you're talking about CNN saying, like, we should just still go back to the old days to get along with China. And that is really – and there – this – brings me to an impromptu idiom. If we do not understand China, we do not come back to this topic, China is coming to us without, like, our worrying about getting along with them. They are coming to Hong Kong. Look at how the kids were being, like, arrested. And when a news a media tycoon was arrested, his two sons were arrested with him. And they were not even in the same business. And so this is what the United States will be if we do not stop this communist expansion in its track. That's what's happening in Hong Kong. I think it's okay wherever we start, but today, if we have time, I'd like to go back a little bit in my little, like, bio that you just said.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I've spent time on, like, the history of how United States and China, like, how the relationship was going back, like, really for a long time. Like, I'm mostly familiar with the recent 50 years, but the goodwill of American people carried toward China, toward the Chinese people, dated further back. It was like a century and a half ago, U.S. missionaries went to China. They brought, like, I think it was the late 1870s when New Jersey oil was just, or New Jersey petroleum. It was by a Rockefeller family. It was just like, U.S. was the leading producer of petroleum products. And it back then, I don't think they could distill that many steps to get what we are now flying, like jet engines, airliners. But they did help Chinese to use lamps. So in China, we have this saying, this lamp oil, we call it foreign oil because it comes from foreign. And the matches, we call it foreign matches. So it is these missionaries that are bringing these things to China. And the United States particularly sought to maintain the integrity, the territorial integrity of China. It hoped that China would remain peaceful and strong and prosperous, because the United States did not want to see local powers like Japan, which turned out to be really, like, aggressive during the Pacific War, and Russia, which turned into, we know, former Soviet Union, which was another expansionist, and all other European powers, to divide and conquer China and carve China into their own influences. So that was a long history of friendship, of goodwill. And so I probably won't go that back. I've covered, like, now we can, now I think we can cover just the past 50 years and take a look how China came to what it is today and what a threat, why it is a greater threat than other countries.
Sure.
Very, very good. We'll hold that thought. We'll take a really swift break, and we'll be right back and delve into that. And just for people who, you know, like to know where we're headed here, we're headed on this for the entire program. So no worries that we're going to have this super fast wrap-up and you won't get the whole story. So anyway, you are listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Are you 6 feet away from me right now?
Hold
Get
on.
Back. Get
See,
back.
No, unless my arms are 6 feet long,
yeah,
that would make me the 50-foot woman. I think they wrote a song about that.
I think they did, too.
Ashley was in there flapping her arms. You should see it. We give her like the bird workout. She's like, hello. She had like soundproof glass, and we're in here screwing around in a soundproof room. And meanwhile, the music's playing.
It's like, oh, yeah, I know where we are now.
We're just chatting away. We're talking to Robert. He's going to work on a plan so he can live stream the show, just, you know, in case you're sick of listening, you'd rather watch. And if you'd rather watch, it's also on the American Uncensored Network here in the Reading area, channel 23.10. Is it 23.10? God, I didn't even have to look.
Wow, I almost said 26.
I know. You were going to get me hate mail.
Not my area of expertise. I'll leave that alone.
That's not mine either.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we decided a long time ago we had faces for radio, and then look what happened.
Yeah, boy.
All right. So, Mr. Young.
Yeah. We have all heard about, like, Huawei. The threat is the 5G.
Oh, yeah.
It's invasive, yeah. We heard about TikTok, the apps that they're scooping private information about the kids, about where they are, even geographic locations, and their preferences. And they use TikTok to mobilize people to book up, like, campaign tickets, right, for campaign rallies. They book up all the tickets to discourage people to attend. Then none of them showed up. They booked like over a million seats and all that. But this kind of invasiveness, they cannot be seen. And now, as the election process gets really is underway, this year they started doing things that everybody can see. This is what they did. The rulers in Beijing, 10,000 assault weapon parts shipped from China have been seized by Customs and Border Protection, I think CBP, mm-hmm. in Louisville. And so this was like last month. And then there are like fake dollar bills like being seized in Chicago, in Cincinnati, like, In the past few months, these are all in the news, and we have links in the radio website, on the website. And they also have, as this debate in the United States about whether we can vote remotely or we have to show in person. Now, I'm kind of worried. Even if someone shows in person, he could be presenting fake IDs. And indeed, there are 2,000 fake IDs being captured in Memphis. And they were manufactured and shipped from China.
Wasn't there like 20,000 seized in New York or someplace?
In O'Hare, Chicago, yes. International Airport, O'Hare International. Yeah, that the 20,000 one was not in one scoop. It was like in the trickling in over the past 6 months. and it's maybe 12 or 20, a dozen or so, short of 20,000. And the majority of those, they were manufactured and shipped from China as well. So this is how China is coming to us. It's not that we can pretend we can go back to our old days, right? No, we can't. What's really alarming is they have the information. I don't have good sources to find out whether the picture has been swapped out or whether the addresses are correct. But I do have people that I follow on social media. They have been fairly active, and they received the seeds, like agricultural.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, 27 states, state agricultural officials, they told U.S. Postal Office, stop sending these to people's homes, send them directly to, federal organizations. And what I have seen, because when they post the seeds that they received, some were are not good at using social media. They posted the delivery, the form that the sender filled out. It has, of course, they marked out their names, but they forgot to mark out their zip code, their telephone number. So these Chinese Americans, mostly, and some are just the Native American, just the Americans who were natural born here, and their addresses, their phone numbers, and all this kind of information. So whoever launched this coordinated campaign, they have it all. So now it's not only coming to America, it is real. It's just coming to our mailbox. It's now some couriers like Amazon, they're doing garage delivery. Now these things are coming to our garages. So this is how China is coming to us.
Do they have any idea what the whole thing with the seeds? I mean, have they found any, link or connection with the people that are sending them? What's the point?
Some tried to track down, and the one I saw was from an industrial park in southeast province, Guangdong province. But some people said they tried to call the number to contact, and those were fictitious addresses. It's not like a real company. And for Chinese government, they really need to be responsible for things that are going out, violating U.S. customs rules and regulations, right? And some were saying they, when they touched the seeds, their skin were sensitive. Their skins were sensitive to the seeds, and that there were blisters and all that. And there were arguments saying, oh, those were the seeds not received this year, but the previous years from China, and those recipients were Japanese. So this, I don't know whether this thing, now they're doing it because United States and China are, the relationship isn't as smooth as it was a few years ago, so there are a lot of questions that need to be, that bag answers.
Yeah, that is, and the seed thing has been going on for a while.
Yes, I looked at the one of the shipping bill. It says it was shipped January 2020, so it took a long time to come over.
Mm-hmm.
It was arriving a few months ago. Some people said they saw a package, they didn't order anything, so they threw it away.
Oh,
So
most people are too curious for that, though. I would imagine 99% of them get opened.
Yeah. Now I'm watching my mailbox very carefully. Now I'm on your radio.
We'll probably all get seeds.
Have ways to get my post office box or my home mailbox. So I'm gonna, if I receive anything I didn't order, I'm gonna turn it into law enforcement for them to find out more.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, the crazy part that struck me, not only were they just random and showing up at people's house, but I guess the seeds were really big. Like, I was picturing little itty-bitty seeds, but I guess they're big, like kidney beans or something.
Well, I heard one report that some of the seeds were a type of water lily that's not indigenous to the United States is very invasive. So, but there's I guess different kinds of seeds.
I was thinking of Peter Pan. They're going to start Peter Pan, but that's tiger lily, not water lily. Sorry. They're going to plant water lilies in the U.S. and infiltrate.
I want the Jack and the Beanstalk seeds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Eureka, maybe can you work on that for us? Get us the Jack and the Beanstalk seeds instead of these other ones that burn your skin. I'm not into those. Those don't sound good.
Yeah, I think they do the ship through like the slow, maybe over like over the sea, like the slow shipment.
I forget what they call that, but yeah. I mean, literally the slow boat from China that we've joked about for years.
I know how slow it was because, like, beginning of the year, maybe March, I ordered table tennis rubber from Thailand. So Amazon says it's going to take like a month because of the Wuhan virus. So actually, it took like 3 months. They even refunded me because it was no delivery. I had to contact them again after I got the delivery. So it took 3 months from Thailand to the United States in one shipment.
I've done that before, like order something on eBay that was little, like a telephone, like a little cover for the phone, and it wasn't something I had to have right away. I didn't even look, and it turned out it was coming from China, and then I looked at after I pushed the button, I look at the delivery date, and it's like 4 months away.
Yeah.
So about the time I forget about it, it shows up. But, I think that's very odd, and I mean, let's face it, it's not free to do that. So somebody or some buddies went to the time and the expense to put this all together.
Yeah,
so it's got to mean something.
Well, one of the things they were saying was that it was part of a marketing campaign to bolster the numbers of a particular company that showed they could show so many shipments to the United States, and it would increase some rating so that they would qualify for different shipping rates or whatever, but they're not really sure what the advantage was, but it was basically to increase the numbers for companies.
See, we're also paranoid. We're like, it's got to be something creepy and evil. Oh, garden variety marketing.
That feels suspicious. Yeah, I saw Wall Street was like more along that line, talking along that line. Mm-hmm. But they could have sent something like less harmful, right? More like nothing like live, right?
Oh,
like,
sure. Yeah. It could have been.
It could have been a piece of paper. Yeah. I mean, could have been
a cloth, right? A
pencil, something useful.
Okay, so we're gonna take a break.
I like that. Do the break sign. Bill looks like he's having a convulsion. That means we have to take a break.
That's not true.
It is true.
I was not convulsing.
You were like giving it that. Oh, was it some kind of a latent disco move?
I'll show you a convulsion.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna be 6 feet away from Bill when we come back. You are listening to We the People. Please join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Now please roll. I've given you southern exposure to get you to thrive. I've pinched your back hard like I'm supposed to. You're barely alive. I've tried you at levels of moisture from desert to mud. Then I've given you prolites and mineral supplements. What do you want from me, blood? Ouch! Damn roses, damn thorns.
On your grass.
Yeah, you get back, Dojo.
And, we were talking about it on the break, but, just to kind of end out the seed thing. But, if people are all throwing them away, they're all going to grow in the landfill.
I know it.
So they're ultimately getting planted one way or the other. It's kind of creepy.
It is creepy.
All right, Eureka, that's your assignment. Find out what the seeds are all about.
All right. these seeds, they come, like, at the time where China maintains this opaqueness of where the virus came from, right? Yep, they refuse to do all that. And while they're refusing the the source of virus and how it spread, how it did not spread within China, yet it spread like all over the world, right? While they are doing, refusing to help international community to have a good understanding on that, they are very good at spinning their own propaganda. They did so by rounding up like 230 smaller parties, mostly like communist parties or pro Chinese Communist Party, pro CCP, pro China parties worldwide. Those, I know those are smaller parties because the open letter they publicized mentioned that they are gonna build up a solution and that they are heading for a common health destiny of mankind. And this is kind of a trademark talk. They have this Belt and Road Initiative, mm-hmm. and a higher goal for this Belt and Road, they have like a theme, like which reads like the common shared, or they call it shared destiny of mankind. So that is what they're building. So for this health, in this health sphere, they're building a shared health destiny of mankind. So those smaller parties, I don't think the Republican Party, right, or the Democratic Party here, or like a Labour Party like in Australia or UK, or those big parties are going to join that shared destiny under the leadership of Chinese Communist Party. So that's how I know none of the major parties have signed onto it. But anyhow, they rounded up 230 smaller parties. And Communist USA, Communist Party USA, was proud to announce that at their website, saying they were one of the signing parties, like on that open letter, and their proposal to sing praises of basically to praise what Beijing did in handling this the outbreak of Wuhan virus was adopted in the open letter. So what Communist Party USA proposed was like they were trying to prove to the world why freedom, the camp of a free society, of free countries, why they're losing, why the Communist parties are winning. They used two very, they thought very convincing countries. One was China, one was Cuba. So that's their proposal. But when Beijing finalized the open letter, which published, I believe, was at the beginning of April, they dropped Cuba. They didn't think Cuba was like on the same caliber with China. It would be a distraction, right? It would be kind of a mockery. It would be like, mm-hmm. yeah, laughing stock. So they retained China being like the best, the best example for the world to follow. So this is what they did. And there is much debate about whether they are the best country. I think they are the worst on many fronts. First, it was where the first out the Wuhan virus got its name because it broke out in Wuhan.
Sure,
everybody knows that. Yeah, and then they shut the city down. They locked down communities, and many people died not because of this virus, but because they have other long-term illnesses. They were no longer allowed to seek treatment. And then there were like this kind of incense, whatever the burners to burn the body. I don't know how to say it in English. They brought in these very powerful.
Like the incinerators.
Yes, incinerators. Yes, yep. They brought these things in. They burned, bodies. And by the time people were told that they were allowed, it broke out in late January. By the time it peaked out, people were told to gather ashes. They went. They had to be organized by local residential committees, and they had to sign forms saying they agreed to that once they gathered the ashes, they were going to do it before April the 5th, I think, which is, was a traditional Chinese day for mourning the those who passed away. So if you want to get, if any family wanted to get their loved one's ashes like before that date, then they have to agree like they would remain quiet and they would not like take pictures when they go to get the ashes and all that. So they want to, and then there were reporters in China. They took a picture, they counted how many boxes were handed out. They were saying like even within a day that they're handing out, I forgot the exact number, is either 25,000 or 50,000. And that was going on for days. So the number of people who died in Wuhan was in like hundreds of thousands. So that's the
wow.
I could get like over 100,000 within a very short period of time, like in the space between January and end of March. So these numbers were kept as top secret. But what they couldn't hide that well was when this thing first broke out, right? So U.S., I believe, had enough information. They started having that like as early as November in our earlier programs that we talked about those dates. And now international community, Australia, for example, they're demanding like an investigation. They wanted transparency. And so that was in this aspect alone, like the people whose lives were taken, and also how their lives were taken because of like the inhumane treatment, or like they were deprived of normal like medical treatments. Many died of that, and I have contacts over there. I'm not directly. I stopped contacting. We probably will have a chance to get to it. I stopped contacting people in China directly, but I have friends who have contacts, still have contacts back there. And these friends, they have emigrated to the Western countries. And they said some people, they were transgender workers. They had to trade in their phone, cell phone, for food and all that. So it was doing a terrible job. And yet, Communist Party USA was one of the 230 global political parties calling for like international cooperation under the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party. So that's on their propaganda side, up front. That's what they're doing, and this would bring us to what else they're doing with these communists and other extreme leftist groups in the United States. I have, over the years, when I worked for, volunteered for nonprofit organizations, I got to know some people. And one such group, I have contacts in one such group, China Scope, and they have been following along about the infiltration of about the communist infiltration into the United States longer than I have, and they provide information that it used to be one organization, which now split into two. They stayed in very close touch with Communist Party USA, and they are also their name. Their name is let me see if I could recall. It is Freedom Road Socialist Organization. Was the original organization. Now it kind of split. The Freedom Road Socialist Organization is still there, and then there is another brand of that. They call themselves Liberation Road. So now there are two. There are now like they split into two. And Freedom Road Socialist Organization probably now is one of the smaller one. And it is based in Chicago and Minneapolis. And these two cities, we have seen them popping up in news reports lately about violence, right? So, and the other, which is now a bigger group, I think, is the other Liberation Road. That is working on parliamentary approach to overthrow, like, existing governments. And it is... maybe in the United States they're not overthrowing, but that is working. Liberation Road, the majority faction is working very closely with the Communist Party USA. As we know, it is working very closely with Chinese Communist Party, whose praise for China's handling of the Wuhan virus has been adopted in this open letter, right, initiated by Beijing. And so these organizations, they're working together. And I think we can come back to Liberation Road about its involvement in parliamentary process, election process, right, after we have come to time for break.
Yeah. Look at you.
Very good.
You don't have to do anything. You were reading Bill's mind. It's a big place in there.
Yeah, I want to kind of stay on that vein, but I don't want to forget. Maybe we can hit in the second hour. There's reports out there that there's like food shortages now in China.
Yes.
I'm sure we won't hear about that publicly.
Yeah. No, that'll be kept quiet. But yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to have way too much to talk about. We will be right back, though. Our guest is Mr. Yuriki Young. You're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
Rockefeller, Campanella, Communist Bloc, Roy Khan, Juan Perón, Toscanini, Daquan, Dien Bien Phu, Falls Rock around the clock. Einstein, James Dean, Brooklyn's got a winning team. Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Bardo, Budapest, Alabama, Khrushchev, Princess Grace, Peyton Grace, Trouble in the Suez.
We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning.
That's such a timeless song.
Quite a list.
Yeah, it is.
Seems to not go away either.
Yep.
Oddly enough. All right, Eureka. Hey, you know, one thing before we leave that, you know, what you were saying about the incinerators and all that in Wuhan, we had had someone, could have been one of the Dr. Chens, who was telling us that when those incinerators rolled into Wuhan, that, oh, supposedly the official story was that it was for medical waste. They just neglected to actually tell the world that medical waste included body bags. And they had said that a lot of those people actually weren't dead yet.
Yes. There were, like, first-hand eyewitness accounts that an elderly gentleman, his leg was still moving, and they just wrapped him up. And, this has been circulating in Chinese social media for quite some time. And when the families did go back to get the ashes, there was no telling whether they got ashes of their loved ones. Or
oh, yeah, it could be anybody.
Well, that was what I was thinking. It was when you have that many people incinerated, how in the heck did they ever keep track of who was who? Did they separate them when they were doing that?
Well, I'm thinking if the same people who were pushing people into the incinerator alive were on the other end sorting the remains, I'm kind of thinking they didn't really spend a lot of time worrying about that.
They didn't really care about it.
They don't really sound like people who worry about those kinds of things.
No.
So, you know, Eureka, just on a, I mean, some of this is really incomprehensible to people who have never lived in a society like that. And so I'm always worried that people think, I mean, obviously we're not making it up because who would even think up something like that? But that maybe it's not really that bad. That maybe that's just being said to make the government look bad or something like that.
Yes, this is what people in China, when we started posting these in U.S. social media outlets, and then there are people who are like taking pictures and taking video footage and send it back by climbing over this great firewall to send people to send to audience back in China. These Chinese people, their reaction was, they acknowledged all that. They knew how bad the government is, but they would fight the numbers. They said, "Oh, this is a very rare occasion, right? It was a very rare occasion."
That, and that makes it okay.
Yeah, they consider it okay.
Oh.
So the tolerance level there, there was no abhorrence upon their learning this. So then this would give someone like me, then I would know. So they got used to it. They only disagreed with us on the numbers. We would say the death would be well over 100,000 or maybe even 200,000. But they said, oh, the death could be maybe 2,000 or 10,000 or something. But then those people, yeah, died very miserably on without treatment for other causes.
So they starved them and all these different things and then pushed them in the incinerators alive, and nobody's disputing that. They're just disputing how many people it was?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I was actually understanding that correctly.
Yes.
Huh. And well, that's a special kind of mind control that gets you to a place where that where you get to think that up and someone isn't telling you to think. I mean, obviously someone told him to think that up over time, but I don't know. Most people wouldn't if you were writing a scary movie, you wouldn't even think of that as a plot line.
Yeah, they want us to present the numbers, but how could we? Like, we heard about the Uyghurs, right?
Right.
There were like 1 million or maybe 2 million Uyghurs were like shipped to concentration camps and to do slave labor. Then they want us to prove, not us, I mean Uyghur, human rights activists, right?
Sure.
They want them to prove. You said there's a million, right? Now tell me what their names, right? If you cannot, then it's only your brother, right? Just one person.
Right.
If there are 10 of you or 100 of you, then we have 200 missing Uyghurs, and that was about it. That's how they are refuting. Not just the government, but many who, just the average Chinese, they started thinking along that line.
Maybe it's just too scary. There's probably a psychiatrist out there screaming at his radio going, "You idiots, it's just how people survive these things." Because I'm thinking maybe that's what you have to do. Not that makes it better, but I guess if you can't get out and you're, I don't know.
Yeah.
That and it was interesting to me. We had to be gone last weekend, so we replayed a program from January with Nicholas Gerber, who is an activist working against the forced organ harvesting program, we'll call it, that happens in China. And if that's a newsflash for anybody out there, please go to the website and listen to that show. But fascinating to me that re-airing that show, I got quite a few phone calls. The first time it aired was in January of 2020. And so we played it again last week. And so in addition to emails and some phone calls I received over that time, I looked at the statistics for where people were tuning in to access the program. And in the last week, listeners from Singapore we have had more people in Singapore listening than the entirety of the United States. And I thought, well, that's kind of
It is encouraging.
Interesting.
People are vacating from Hong Kong. They moved their business to Singapore, I think. That's closest. Both use Chinese and English languages as their official languages.
Mm.
And yeah, I think they probably cared about the well-being of their either family or friends back in Hong Kong. And they have ties to people back in China.
Mm-hmm.
I think they also probably are more concerned than us about China's taking over, more and more, its the sphere of its influence would be expanding and may one day, right.
Well, it tells me how strong the grapevine is, because I was feeling really remiss we hadn't done a show on China in a while, a couple of months at least. And then it's interesting, we replay a show. I actually never sent out any promotion. I didn't post it to Facebook. I just having a little family thing there, and I just got busy and didn't do it. And so just replaying it, just putting it up on the web and having it just sit there all by itself tipped the scales. I mean, the week before, Singapore was way down 10, 11, 12, maybe 15 in number of listeners on the worldwide scale. And bing, they popped immediately to the top. And I thought, man, that's a very interesting network that they must have going on. There's a show about this, you know, everybody taps
the
into
word
it.
Got out very quickly.
Yeah, because it was like Monday and Tuesday were the big days. And I thought, huh.
So, yeah, and also there's
good for them, you know, good for all you guys in Singapore.
Yeah, and also new developments about organ harvesting. I'm not an expert on that. I have no medical background.
I don't want to become an expert on that. It's just too creepy.
I heard that because of this Wuhan virus, people's organs are failing, right? It attacked one's lungs and heart.
Oh, sure.
And this made this issue even more prominent, this organ harvesting. So there are people who were able to get organ transplant four times. Like someone did it four times, so with 10 spare organs to pick and choose in the recent month. And I believe at the Times, they zoomed in and provided the name. The patient was flown back from Japan to China in the past few months and did this. So check out with your contacts, and they may have an update for you.
Oh, my gosh. So it's like Taco Bell. You just go through the drive-thru, and, you know, the burritos aren't very much, so you might want to go through the drive-thru again. It's crazy to me that an entire, a government structure would think it was okay.
I'm just shocked that more countries don't ban transplants out of China. I mean, there are countries.
Well, I'm shocked at how many people don't even know it's happening. And the thing is, you hear about the Uyghurs all the time, the Muslims in China. But that's been happening far longer with the Falun Gong. They're Chinese, for heaven's sakes.
Yes. And the population of Uyghurs is so huge. And with 1 million, this is a really, like, huge pool of organs to harvest from. So that's what worries me. And also, they're talking
about
national security law. They're going to ship Hong Kongers into mainland and sentence them to lifetime in prison. So
more like lifetime in organ harvesting, which will be short. Ugh. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's you know, some of this you really can't make up, and for the folks out there that had no idea these things were going on, really think twice. We've had some guests on who've really, and maybe it was you, I don't remember, but you know, some people really, really highlighted, you know, if you're buying goods from China that are, you know, because of the price and all that sort of thing, you really need to think that through, because what are you supporting?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So, you know, whether you think Buy American's a good idea or not for our country, it's, I don't know, it's time to send a message. We'll be right back with our guest, Eureka Young. We've got a lot more to discuss about China. You can find everything about the program at wethepeopleradio.us. Second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. If you're looking for a mower or a tractor or a zero-turn ag implements, go by and see them. They can get you fixed up if they don't have it. They have a network of over, I think, 35 locations that they can draw from. So if we don't have it, they we'll find it for you. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da.
There you go.
And zero turn, for those of you who don't speak mower, that means that you just spin in a circle and mow the same spot endlessly?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't have a steering wheel. It's got little steering levers, and you can spin that thing around on a dime.
Oh.
A lot faster than a rider, but yeah, go by and see them. They'll give you all the information.
Sick of mowing in those straight lines, because we all know I've always hated mowing in straight lines.
Well, mowing's a little slow right now in our area, but it's going to pick up. I mean, in the fall when it cools down, grass can start growing again, and get out there and get after it.
Exactly. There well, we're having a cold snap right now. I think it's
it was
like 90 or something.
Yeah,
it was like 116 yesterday. We got some clouds today. Imagine that.
Yeah, if you ever want to watch rain hit the ground and turn to steam, we had that this morning.
Welcome to our world. Ah, but we're only 2 miles from the sun, so it's not really all that unusual.
Yeah.
So let's see. You can find everything about our program here, 2 miles from the sun, at wethepeopleradio.us. And if you're in somewhere terribly hot, okay, I feel your pain. But for the most part, people go, ooh, Redding. Ooh, isn't that the place that gets really hot? I'm like, yeah, you wouldn't like it there.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. I was down in the city this last week, and, you know, the city people, they're not all that tough. And they had, oh boy, heat warning, heat emergency.
Yeah.
It was like heat emergency, I think is what was flashing on
cooling
the television.
Cooling stations.
They set up cooling stations. It was going to be 100, and it was going to be, 65 at night. Oh my gosh, the horror. It was hilarious. And meanwhile, I'm like looking on my phone. I'm like, oh, at home, it's like 105. They would all be.
Yeah. I think we cooled down to about, 85 last night.
Yeah, something. It was funny. I went and walked in their park, and it was actually really nice. There was no one there because of the heat emergency. And it's like, are you kidding me? There's actually a cool breeze blowing. What are these guys talking about?
Oh, I need a jacket.
That's what happens when you live in an oven. Just funny. Silly things that happen. I guess we shouldn't talk about that in light of our previous conversation or in light of our ongoing conversation. But, Eureka, when your contacts, is this a good time, though, to talk about the contacts in China? I was just going to say we never did really kind of tell people about that.
Yeah, I have stopped to contact them. So any information I got through my contacts here who have direct contact back there. Feel free to ask any question.
Yeah, because didn't you find out some of them were spies or something? Maybe that's too.
They are in the United States, right? They came as like for People's Liberation Army, but they did not let the U.S. government know when they applied for entry visas.
Mm.
Are you talking about these?
No, I was thinking about the people that you were communicating with in China that turned out to be, let's just say, unreliable.
Not in China directly. I try to contact people like in Hong Kong. They may not be spies, but they are somehow inappropriately, as a spy would do, try to link the student demonstration over there with the demonstration, with the violent demonstrations that were taking place in the United States in the past month or two. So they were making that kind of connection. And that was really troubling me. The reason I wanted to contact them, because I would like to get a first hand, I think it was like Hong Kong was already kind of under the new national security law, but a lot is still taking place. They have communication channels, not like under supervision of the Communist Party directly. I stopped contacting people in mainland a long time ago. Of course, I still like talk to my like immediate family, right, or very close friends. But I always assume when I talk to them that everything was like somehow someone would be able to tap into that.
Oh yeah, somebody's listening.
So I refrained from asking. Even like for food shortage that we're going to go to shortly, I refrained from asking them anything like that could incriminate them as like leaking out confidential economic information or like leaking out sensitive political information. So I refrained from that. But for people in Hong Kong, they use like Twitter, like they use like Facebook, they use like some other. Like something that, I don't know how to pronounce. That's in French, it's parler. So they use these new tools for talking Telegram and
mm-hmm.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I thought I would ask them some questions, right? Because we shared opinions. I was sympathetic to their protest, but they did not seem to understand the situation in the United States that well, and they did not see the ingredients, the fake dollar bills, right? The assault weapon parts and the fake IDs and the fentanyl, and all these are like are ingredients of violent protests here. And while Hong Kong, those students in Hong Kong, they have none of that. They are not like drug users, abusers, right? They are, they don't have guns. They don't, they pretty much just like going on onto the street, some with wearing masks when the police were overly using tear gas, and to firing tear gas. And so that was the, I wasn't able to get enough information from Hong Kong regarding how they're gonna, gonna take this new national security law. But so in Hong Kong, I only scooped everything so far from news reports, public reports, which the state security, and also the police and the authority under the new national security law arrested very prominent news media tycoon Jimmy Lai and his two sons, and another 23-year-old girl who spoke fluent Japanese, and she was kind of an icon in the community of even in Japan itself, many people know about her, and so they arrested us. There was a huge tug of war between the camp of free countries condemned this act and demanded the release of these people arrested, the media tycoon and his two sons, and also executives working in the media outlet, like a total of maybe nine people. The girl belongs to a separate group, another like pro-democracy group. And it is under Western pressure, especially Vice President Mike Pence tweeted with a picture of him receiving Jimmy Lai in the White House, saying Jimmy Lai inspired me, his ideals and his action and all that. So then China decided to release him on bail, while everyone, when they were arrested, according to the Article 42 of the new national security law, no one was supposed to be released on bail unless the court could prove that they're not going to pose any threat to national security. So now the burden lies in the hands of the court. And, of course, the court wouldn't, like, make that promise. And if they were released on bail, usually they would be prohibited from talking to media. So these restrictions, we're not seeing them yet, which is good, which, like, governments, like the U.S. government and other governments, their pressure appears to be working. It is very important, like, international community keeps an eye on Hong Kong, how we continue to support them. And so that's about what I have for Hong Kong.
Okay.
Well, we hope they succeed. I don't know what success really looks like for them. Maybe before we leave that topic, when we come back, Eureka, if they were winning, what would it look like? We'd like to hear that from you. So we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can join us online any old time at wethepeopleradio.us.
We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Rush the shores of your
They can't have more promotion than that. That's like the ultimate promotion song. I'll just let it stand on its own.
That's right.
So Eureka, if the students in Hong Kong, or let's just say the people in Hong Kong, I don't care if they're students, but in Hong Kong, if they were winning, what would it look like? Because now it's kind of gone a little bit quiet out of the mainstream of reporting.
Yeah, but they are not winning.
I know, that's kind of what I was worried about.
Yeah, but they are not. And we with all the support led by the United States government and also U.S. Congress, a lot of congressmen were standing very firm, standing tall against this regime rolling out this national security law in Hong Kong. So they had to release these nine people on bail before it reached 48 hours. The police could hold them in custody for 48 hours. After that, their case would have to be filed to the court. With the new national security law, and they would not be allowed to be bailed. So when they were held in custody in the police stations, the police weren't able to make any decision. They had to call. And according to these victims, they figured that these police officers were not just calling to the Hong Kong authority. They were waiting for instructions directly from Beijing. So in the end, they were released before 48 hours. So Beijing did not have to lose face of taking them, filing, of bringing charges against them in court, and then somehow violate Article 42 to allow them to be bailed to go back home. So that was how the tug of war was. It was like in a few hours, then both sides, there would be very little buffer. The Beijing wouldn't, it would cost it too much politically. To show that they're still in control, for Beijing's rulers to show to Chinese people they're still in control. They want to always present themselves as like they're not only in charge of China mainland, they're in charge of Hong Kong, they're in charge of Taiwan, they're calling shots in the United States through these like communist parties, right, extreme parties who are able to start this violence whenever they wanted the violence to be breaking out in Chicago or in Minnesota. So now that's the image they're presenting to the Chinese people. Basically, the United States is on the decline, right? It won't be able to to restore order. And then, but at the same time, it has a lot of weaknesses. Its legitimacy is being called into question on several fronts. I think this may be a good time to talk about the food shortage. It built up its legitimacy after 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre by developing a prosperous economy, and everybody would be better off and would have a car to drive, would be able to purchase his own apartment, and that's kind of a contract between the communist regime and Chinese people. Basically, you will be able to have a good life to live here, but you will have to shut up. We have set up all these surveillance cameras, right? Whatever you say or wherever you go. So they set all this up. So this was an agreement, kind of. They didn't put this in writing, but the indoctrination of young kids in school were told that China, Communist Party, did two great things. First, it drove away all the imperialists. The second, it developed this very prosperous economy. And everybody is like having having school to go to, having a wide choice of food, and have cars have the latest gadgets, and the Huawei probably is the leader. They present the image of the leader of 5G technology. But in fact, Huawei is not even able to produce a CPU for its cell phone. So there is this gap. And now with with this a lot of 27 provinces out of 31 or 32 like administrative zones at the provincial level, there are 30. When I was there, there were 30, including Taiwan. They counted Taiwan, 30 provinces or municipalities. But now they have this Hainan Island, which is west of Hong Kong. They were saying they're going to develop Hainan Island into a financial center to replace Hong Kong. That's what they were saying. I don't think New York City, right, was how, like Jimmy Carter had a grand plan, then New York City became international financial center. I don't think it worked that way. But that's how the rulers are thinking. And then because of the flood, 27 provinces, the flood took place like May and June. This is the time where crops were growing. So it was all destroyed. So there was this worry about food shortage. And in China, the government like us at the federal level, they call it the national level, the statistics, you are never able to read and decipher, because they say China like was able to produce like 80% of the food it needed. It imports like 15 to 20%, and sometimes on the harvest, on a good year, on a good year, it would be able to produce 90% of the food it needed. So it would need import only 10%. And this year they're saying the number, food production number, was fluctuating between 3% and 5%. So there was no impact of the flood. But at the provincial levels, the numbers are falling short. Some provinces, they're short as 25%. Some were like more or less. Some were like 15%. Even those numbers cannot be trusted. So that's the source of the food shortage. And the people can tell from their paramount leader, Xi Jinping, Secretary General, Xi Jinping's latest directive. He said everybody has to be frugal. And if like 9 people going into a restaurant, instead of order the size, right, the size for the food dishes for 9 people, you should cut like 10%, so order like for 8 people, so as to be frugal. People are no longer getting used to that, so they are losing the consensus after the Tiananmen massacre. The government is no longer able to maintain the economy at this speed. It is not even able to maintain status quo. So people were saying, now, like these top leaders, they entertain North Korean leader with this super, super expensive liquor, Chinese liquor, called Mao Tai. And to produce liquor, you have to use a lot of food. So you would be able to produce a tiny cup of liquor, because just like Japanese sake, I think, right, is made from food. Mm-hmm. While they were, like, each bottle would cost like 180,000 Chinese yuan in currency, which translates about 6 or 7. So it will be $23,000 worth for that liquor. So it is people who are drinking this kind of liquor are telling people who are like below poverty line to be frugal, to save.
Wow.
And this is one front where they're losing legitimacy. So they're having a hard time. Although they are ruling Hong Kong with an iron fist, yeah, they have their weak part.
Once you start rationing food, people can't eat. You're going to lose consensus. That can't possibly go on for long. Although they've had famines in China before, and they haven't really done much about it. So,
well, are people just not? People are not allowed to. I mean, you don't get to question anything. It's not like here where, you know, we all rush the city council or the board of supervisors and go in and demand answers. I mean, if they tell them whatever the government tells people there, they, I mean, do they actually believe it, or do they just have to pretend like they do?
Yeah, they would send out like security forces to arrest you, and they'll find out who was organizing that. And with the flood, I saw a lot of videos about the flood, and the people's cars were swept away, and in the country, their cows and their oxen, they were swept away, and they have nowhere to file a complaint. And the it's even worse than what I described, because the flood does not come from nowhere. The flood came at the order of government officials, because they have built up all these dams, and because of the water, the rising water level, the dams were like couldn't hold that much water, so they flood the downstream area.
Oh, so there was no, they didn't release the water so they could catch it later. There's
right.
No planning.
Well, the giant dam they built was touted as the greatest flood control dam ever built. That was one of was the main reason they built that dam was
Three Gorges Dam.
Three Gorges, that's right. And that dam was supposed to stop all the flooding that was pretty much an annual thing, and here they have a wet year, and the dam does no good whatsoever. Actually, they're saying it's done more damage than good. So,
yes, in dry weather, they want to store a lot of water so they could use that to produce electricity to make money off that.
Mm-hmm.
But when in wet weather, a lot of heavy rains, they want to flood downstreams. So that's why they hurt you when it's dry. They hurt you when it's wet.
Yeah. So, yeah, net, not a lot of gain for the people when they built that dam.
I'm sure they were told it was going to be magical.
And there was actually some talk that that dam may fail because of the amount of water it was holding back. That was one of the reasons they were dumping water, was they were afraid that dam was going to fail.
Yep. That would flood the fields where they just planted the crops. And so this thing like it comes to a full circle.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. Poor people. All right. Got to take one more quick break. I can't believe we are it's like we're time traveling. Good night. We have approximately a half hour left. So we'll stop asking you questions and not jam up your agenda when we come back. Our guest is Eureka Young, and you are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Okay, the quiz question. Where does that come from, Bill? Give us the source of the Food Glorious Food song.
I'll
give you a clue.
Know.
It was a musical.
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
How about, okay. His first name is the same as our robot vacuum.
I'm not.
Oliver?
Oliver Twist. Ah,
man,
okay.
That was hard.
Well, I'll drag that one out.
Woo! if you're on, what is it? What's the show where you have to count on your family to answer questions?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Don't go on that one with Bill. But yeah. Short answer, don't go on that one with Bill. All right, back to the matter at hand. So, Eureka, you know, is there any? I know you've posted some really good links for people on today's program, which is the August 16th, 2020 page on the website. And you've posted a lot of good sources for the information. So, you know, people don't necessarily have to believe you, although I think they should. But, you know, you have quite a bit on here about the election politics and what's happening with the influences of China and the folks that would like to see our country fall in line. How's that?
Yes, and all the topics that we covered where the influence, foreign influence is coming from Beijing. And those fake IDs, those violence, like violent protesters, they were like sponsored by communist and extreme groups in the United States who are closely tied with the Chinese Communist Party. And the party, while it is losing its legitimacy within China, right? Although at the same time, it presented to Chinese people, everything is under its control. It is very strong while the United States is in a mess. And what's going to happen if they win? What's going to happen to people in Hong Kong? What's going to happen to people in Taiwan? And we talked about, I believe President Trump mentioned this when people asked about Hong Kong. President Trump said that if you have no freedom, right, then you won't have like a financial center, and the United States is going to withdraw incentives that we granted over there. And so the suffocating political atmosphere is suffocating China's economy. But another part of that, since I believe this administration comes to a really good understanding of the nature of the Communist Party, and it is taking very effective measures to further take away the legitimacy that the United States granted Beijing's leaders starting like early 1970s when the negotiations started. It eventually recognized Beijing's government as China's legitimate government by January 1st, 1979. And because of Beijing's Chinese leaders' interference into U.S. political process, I think this administration is taking very effective countermeasures to stop them from doing that. And I have to applaud that. And those links, it's not that you have to believe me. Those are what this administration did in counter this foreign influence. Very harmful to American values, very harmful to American political process, to our way of life. And for cabinet-level officials, like Robert O'Brien, National Security Advisor, Attorney General William Barr, and FBI Director Christopher Wray, and the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, they came out, they laid out, for example, how PLA, right, agents, their researchers are coming in to steal information. Even a Communist Party member would be very loyal to the Communist Party. It would do anything that the party tells him or her to do. For within PLA, it's within Army, the command that comes down from a higher level officer would even be more strict, so the soldier has no choice but to do whatever he or she is ordered to do. So these people are coming to the United States, and like every like 10 hours a case was filed with such like intellectual property theft. That's from Christopher Wray. And I believe National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, he gave a more like a historic overview about how this party remains a Leninist, it's kind of Stalinist and Leninist Soviet Union type of party living off its people, applying dictatorship within its territory, and also trying to destroy other social systems while dominating the entire world. So that was the nature of that. And this administration also, besides these historical perspectives, they sent out Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, to Taiwan. And this Taiwan is at the very core of mainland China's legitimacy. When Richard Nixon visited China in 1972, I know the dates because I kind of, the geographic kind of, geopolitical analysis, like, has to be based not on, like, hearsays, like whether we can prove there's a million, right, in concentration camp. It's all based on declassified government documents and agreements they signed. So when Richard Nixon went to China, Chairman Mao was the paramount leader back then. When he met with Richard Nixon, he said, an old friend of both of us, General Lissimo Chiang Kai-shek, who was then the leader in Taiwan, he lost the mainland to Mao. So he retreated to Taiwan. Mao said, General Lissimo Chiang Kai-shek wouldn't be happy about your trip here. He called us communist bandits. And Henry Kissinger and all the U.S. like top officials and national security advisors on these people, they analyzed what Mao meant. What Mao meant was, we are not in the United... they just entered the United Nations back then, I think. But it wasn't recognized by the United States. So both sides need to have formal diplomatic relations so as for China to be legitimate. So then after eight long, arduous negotiation, United States, agreed to establish diplomatic relations. And it is very subtle, the agreement. Richard Nixon and Mao issued Shanghai Communique on February 28th, Beijing time. It's February 27th, U.S. time, probably. And so we may see two dates on the official websites, depending on the language. And for Chinese, it may be showing February 28th. Within that, it was the initial contact, the first communique of the three. The two countries did not establish diplomatic relationship till 1979. And in that, there was a critical statement which goes like, the United States acknowledges that all Chinese on either side of the Taiwan Strait maintain there is but one China and that Taiwan is a part of China. So within that, back then, the United States did not recognize that Beijing is the legitimate government, but it recognizes that there is one China and Taiwan is a part of China. But the United States never defined what China is. And the United States' position has been that whether Taiwan joins China, become a union, becomes one country or not, the process need to be peaceful. While Beijing had long hidden this fact, this U.S. position from Chinese people. So this is its legitimacy. By sending Alex Azar, Secretary Azar, to Taiwan, United States is effectively telling Beijing, your legitimacy is being called into question.
Yeah, that was a big move. And I don't know how many people caught that, but whether or not Taiwan will survive that, I don't know. But it was kind of the first big move on the United States parts to recognize Taiwan as a legitimate.
It's amazing that hasn't been done already.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got to take one more quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest Eureka Young. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I was born. The nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. 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 Bad to the bone.
Oh, by the way, I've cracked the code. I figured out the shadow organizations and the Illuminati know that they're finally primed for world domination. And soon you've got black helicopters coming across the border, puppet masters for the new world order. Be aware, there's always someone that's watching you, and still the government won't admit they fake a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning, don't mind that. I'm protected cause I made this hat from aluminum foil. Where I had this foil lined, in case an alien's inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar. Seems a little crazy. There's a big conspiracy.
My, where'd that come from?
Well, you know, it's funny because I always figure the people who think that we're just making all this up, that's what they think about us. The bad part is they have no sense of humor, so they probably don't understand the song. But, I mean, this is all true.
Yeah.
That's the
sadly enough.
I mean, it's all true, but then and then the other part is we were watching Better Call Saul, and you know he wears a foil wrap because he's allergic to electricity. So there was that sort of knocking around. That was Weird Al. You can't get through a whole show without playing something from Weird Al, and some of this stuff, frankly, is so crazy that I don't know. I guess it needs Weird Al. Eureka. I know there's so much more. But is there anything, you know, in this last, like, you know, 10 minutes-ish that we haven't hit that you think is really important right now?
Yeah, I think I can squeeze the key points.
If only we would stop screwing around. Yeah, sorry about that.
I have 6 minutes. So many people were challenging, like, whether, what they heard from this program are true or not. That was because Chinese government, the Communist Party, has censored not only through Confucius Institute, which is now being called a CCP agent, rightly called so, and they are not only censoring U.S. professors, U.S. students, they have long been censoring U.S. officials who are dealing with China. When these officials, you wouldn't be able to believe that. This administration is the first in well over 40 years who dare to call a spade a spade. And they do it like this. First, if you say something, if you refer to Taiwan as Taiwan, they would be angry. You cannot use the term Taiwanese because that would kind of hint on Taiwan. People in Taiwan have their own identity. Mm-hmm. You have to call them Chinese. That's how in this, which I read already, I'm going to read it again. I'm reading it. I couldn't memorize. The United States acknowledges in Shanghai Communique that all Chinese on either side of the Taiwan Strait maintain that there is but one China and that Taiwan is a part of China. You see, they want the United States to say it is Chinese on both sides of the strait. And they want you to acknowledge that there's one China, and Taiwan is part of China. The only place Taiwan occurred twice. One is Taiwan Strait, a geographical name, and another, Taiwan is a part of China. And, of course, the United States acknowledges. The United States did not say that we agreed to or something. We agree that you, all Chinese, right? Of course, the you wasn't in the... It's not very polite. to see you, but that all Chinese on either side of the Taiwan Strait maintain there's one China. So then Chinese government was able to use this to tell tell Chinese people that, hey, United States said, they didn't say United States acknowledges our position. They said United States said there is only one China and Taiwan is part of us and we are China. United States said none of that. The United States only acknowledged that it's your position. And that all Chinese considered took it that Taiwan is, there's one China and Taiwan is part of China. And United States did not define what China is, whether Taiwan will eventually be part of China or not. But that is how, when it is not able to censor U.S. officials like Henry Kissinger, who signed Richard Nixon, who signed it, they would force U.S. negotiators to phrase in such a vague way so that they could go back to tell Chinese people to lie to them. Now we heard, like, China lies, right? People die. So that's how they do it more subtly. And when later on, when like especially during Obama administration, we were very weak in our foreign policy, then they wouldn't. Most of the U.S. officials would oblige. But when U.S. officials do not, China will say, oh, they agreed to something. Oh, they acknowledged something without quoting U.S. officials directly. So a huge difference this administration.
Well, yeah, they didn't quote Pompeo when he referred to Taiwan or the Taiwanese people.
Yes, exactly. Pompeo mentioned in his speech two Taiwans and twice Taiwanese. And the way he said is different from this Shanghai communique dating back to 1972. So that's why I'm saying there's Chinese zodiac. If we go to restaurant, there are 12 of them. Each year is a year of ox, a year of like a ram, a year of a dragon. And it's for 48 years, four full cycles of Chinese zodiac. The first U.S. official referring to Taiwan as a country twice, saying Alex Azar went there to see how Taiwan handled Wuhan virus so successfully as a country. That's referred. The second time he referred to the country is, it always kind of amazes me or surprises me, I forgot the term, that Beijing would become so angry when our health minister would go visit a country. So again, called Taiwan a country. And he referred Taiwanese twice. One was the partnership between United States and Taiwanese government. Another is, with Alex Azar going there, we are still holding on to the commitments made between us and the Chinese, and us and between us and the Taiwanese. So he is not saying across the Taiwan Strait, both sides are Chinese, which I believe Jim Rogers, probably his name, Jim Rogers, was Secretary of State on Nixon's delegation in China. He challenged, he said many people, 80% of people in Taiwan, they do not consider themselves as Chinese. So this foundation that underpins this communique wasn't really solid. Only Chinese acknowledge one China, and Taiwanese may not. And Mike Pompeo now is bringing this to the surface. So we need respect. They blossomed using Pompeo's speech at the Richard Nixon Library. Pompeo said, we marginalized people of Taiwan, which blossomed into a vibrant democracy. So now these people in Taiwan, through their own aspiration for freedom, made themselves a very strong partner. They earned the place of partnership with the United States, and this is also calling Beijing's legitimacy into question. And I really commend this administration for doing that. There may be disputes about whether we should give $300 out for the or whether $400 or $600 for the those who lost their jobs due to Wuhan virus, but to take legitimacy away from China, so to stop it from threatening the United States, stop it from interfering our political process, and so as to effectively protect America's prosperity, America's values, and our way of life. And so these are the very important questions that we need ask ourselves in the remaining like 80 or so days leading toward November the 3rd.
Yeah, I think for anybody who's unclear how to vote, they should listen to all the shows we've done on China. And they can get a sneak preview of where we'll be headed. For everybody who thinks just a little socialism leads to just a little communism and it'll be so much better here than everywhere else. Yeah, not so.
No, not going to work. Not gonna
well,
work.
Mr. Young, we have successfully burned 2 more hours. I cannot believe it. Every time we have you on, it's like, what? We hardly got through anything. But we would love to have you back again in the future, of course. And any information you have to share with our audience, we always love it. Thank you so much for all your hard work. And let your friends out there know that we're pulling for them. You're listening
Thank
to
you
We
so
the
much.
People. You can catch us online all the time at wethepeopleradio.us.